Hallelujah. Walk into your season. Walk into your season. Just get up and walk into your season. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God said, it's your time. The wait is over. Yeah. Walk into your season. Ha! Yeah, God, thank you. Yeah, God, thank you. I'm so glad the wait is over. It's my time. Walk into your season. Step into your season. Hey, God, thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah, God, thank you. The wait is over. The wait is over. You don't have to worry about it now because the wait is over. Access granted. You can now walk. Just walk into your season. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. We need to make time for the Holy Spirit to have His way. Amen. Some of you need to claim that thing and walk into your season. Hallelujah. Some of you right now are on the brink of getting up and walking into your season. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank God for an opportunity, another opportunity to just preach a word for the Lord. Amen. We thank you, Brother Dennis, for such timely music. Amen. It's amazing how the Spirit of God connects the music with the message and the message with the people and the people with the music. Amen. It's all a circle, and it's all a divine plan of God. The wait is over. It's your time. You've been waiting and waiting and waiting and wondering and wondering, God, when are you going to let this thing be mine now? But the Spirit says, it's your time. The wait is over. After 38 years, the man at the pool said, you know what? Wait is over. Jesus is here. And now I can walk into my season. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you for an opportunity to preach your word. I pray, oh God, that you would remove me and that you would step in my place. For I must now decrease as you increase. So, Lord, have your way in this service, God. Have your way in this message, Lord. Use me, Lord, as your instrument, Lord. Use me to get this message across, Lord, that your people might hear a word from the Lord, that they might say, you know what? I need to do this thing. I need to walk into my season right now. So, Lord, as we begin this message, we pray that you would have your way. In the name of Jesus, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. You are our strength, and you are our Redeemer. And let the people of God say amen.
Amen.
When I was a kid, I spent a lot of time over my grandmother's house. I realize now that my mother and father was just trying to get rid of us on the weekends, amen? And on Friday after my dad would get home from work, we would put our clothes. Remember when the supermarket gave out the brown paper bags? We would put our clothes in the brown paper bags and we would go down to Nana's house. And Sunday evening, after they finished getting their groove on, amen, during the weekends, they would come back and get us. Y'all looking at me like amen. Amen. Mom and Dad got their groove on too. Amen. Lord have mercy. So I would spend a lot of time with my grandmother. My grandmother was churched. My grandmother she smelled like church. She looked like church. You know how older people back then they was just churchy. You understand what I'm saying? They was downright churchy. And she would say some things that I would look and I would, all right, Nana, you're going to have to kind of explain that to me because I really didn't get that. And, you know, one thing that she said to me that really stuck in my mind was she said, you have to watch, fight, and pray. So I'm little, I don't know no better. I'm thinking, you know, Jesus people, they don't fight. So, you know, and I'm saying to myself, all right, where does the fight come in at, Nana? Yeah, I'm not understanding it. I understand the watch, you know, watch for Jesus when Jesus come back. And I understand the praying. But where does the fight come in? And you know, I couldn't get that thing. And for years and years and years, that thing stuck with me. Watch, fight, and pray. And so, you know, it didn't occur to me until I, you know, was ordained and all that stuff. I started studying and went to seminary and you know, all of that kind of stuff, you know, that I begin to understand that watch, fight, and pray thing. Now, pray with me. Watch, fight, and pray. And a few years ago, I preached a sermon from the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah taught me a great lesson. I keep going back and back and back to Nehemiah. And I finally got it. Watch, fight, and pray. Oftentimes, I see Christian folks or church folk or people that are saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost so passive, so laid back. The Lord will make a way somehow. And you know, all of those scriptures are relevant and they're real and it's Bible. You understand what I'm saying? But I see a lot of people, they sit back and take so much stuff that I'm not understanding it sometimes. Because, you know, I hear the choirs in the old church say, God don't want no coward soldiers. You understand what I'm saying? If God don't want no coward soldiers, why do I see so many folks cowering in a corner talking about the Lord will make a way somehow? You understand what I'm saying? I'm not getting this thing about folks just letting people just walk all over them and Christian folks. And I'm not understanding how folks can let some people just say anything they want to say to you because you are Christian, because you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Folks think that they can say anything they want to say to you. I don't think so. Thank God for God. You understand what I'm saying? Thank God that he cleaned me up a little bit because I'm not the one for you to talk real raunchy to and expect me to say, praise the Lord. The Lord is good.
God bless you, sir.
No, we're going to have a problem. In the name of Jesus.
Of course. You understand what I'm saying.
Then I hear the song, I'm a soldier on the battlefield and I'm fighting. All y'all know that song. But ain't nobody fighting. And listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about physical altercation. You have to differentiate between the two. I'm not talking about fighting in the physical. See, I keep telling folks, we do have the come on up here ministry. Y'all ain't want to hear that. We do have the come on up here ministry. You try to mess with pastor and watch what happens. Come on up here. And we will lay hands on you rapidly and repeatedly. You in the name of Jesus, of course. Amen. I am serious. I want to preach to you this morning. Are there any fight fans out there? By the show of hands, anybody like to watch the fights? Amen. I want to preach to you from the subject. I know. I want to preach to you from the subject. Let's get ready to rumble. Yeah. Let's get ready to rumble. Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. You see, we can fight and not lay a hand on you. You understand what I'm saying? See, folks get it twisted that you got to knuckle somebody to really get with them. You understand what I'm saying? That was back then. I thank God for how he saved my soul and he brought me up out of the muck and the mire. Because you know how we used to do it, Brother Rick, back at 21st and Westmoreland. We used to throw down. Amen. We used to fight like a champ. And we could fight. But no big thing. But now that we're saved and in Jesus Christ, we've got to do things a different way. A lot different. Amen, somebody. But what I'm saying is that I get sick and tired of seeing people that don't want to do nothing for the Lord. They just want to sit back and just... When something happened, it starts jumping like some electricity had hit them. Like, you understand what I'm saying? I get sick and tired of seeing people get burnt and get beat up and get talked about and never say a word. You're not Jesus. Jesus never said a mumbling word. Me, I'm going to open up my mouth.
Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. I done lost my mind. I did. I was lost. But now I'm found. I was blind. But now I see. There's a wonderful story in the book of Nehemiah that just did my heart wonderful. I liked it. It was just good. You all know the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was King Artaxerxes' cupbearer. And Nehemiah got word from his brother Hanani that the city of Jerusalem had burnt down. He had moved away and he was working for the king now. He was the wine taster. And thank God Nehemiah was around for as long as he was. Amen. Because he could have drank some poison wine. Amen, mother. Nehemiah was around for a reason, amen. And Nehemiah asked the king, my town is burning down and I need to go and help rebuild it. And in those days, during that time, you could have gotten your head chopped off by the king if you went to him wrong. But Nehemiah prayed before he even said a word, amen, somebody. And he went to the king, and the king said, what do you need? How much wood you need? How many people you need? How long you going to be? Just let me know, and I'll hook you up. Now, of course, I'm paraphrasing. Thank you. So
So Nehemiah went on and he did what he had to do. But while he was there, he developed some haters. All along your Christian journey, you're going to find or run into haters. You can say amen if you want to. I found a lot of haters in my life that were jealous, envious, and mad that I had found the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you think folk will be happy for you because you find Jesus Christ and you make him the head of your life as Lord and Savior. But there are folks that are just talk about you like a D.O.G. You understand what I'm saying? They just bash you because, oh, he think he's something because he found the Lord. The Lord. Who he think he is? He Jesus, man. You know, you heard them people. I know somebody in here has run into those kinds of people. Those Sanballats and those Tobias. You understand what I'm saying? And so now Nehemiah at this point in chapter 4 had run into some opposition. They were talking about him. They were saying all kinds of stuff. They were plotting to get Nehemiah just because he was doing the work of the Lord. How many of you know that folks will plot against you because you're doing God's work? Now, all the while we was out in the streets, brothers and sisters, doing our thing, nobody bothered you. Nobody said a word to you. They didn't have a word to say about. But the minute you give your life to Christ, they got all kind of stuff to say now. Where were you when I was out there? Where was all of this? What? Now you want to say something to me? You want to say I just don't like those kinds of people. I read this book that said, I'm fine with God. It's Christians I can't stand. That book was kind of hard to me until I started reading it. Christian folks make themselves unlikable sometimes. There are some Christian folks that I'd just rather walk around the block to get away from. I love them, pray for them, but I'll walk away from them. You understand what I'm saying? Because every time they see you, they got something stupid to say out their face. And they think it's biblical. They think it's the right thing to say. You understand what I'm saying? The Lord told me to tell you. I get so tired of folks telling me what the Lord told me to tell you. The Lord speak to me. Hello, Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Let me get back to chapter 4, verse 1 says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was mad. Soon as folks hear that you're doing something constructive for the kingdom of God, building up stuff instead of tearing down, folks get mad. Hey, you know what? Oh, Lord, thank you. The Lord, you know what? Folks get mad when you don't stay on the phone with them and gossip about Deacon Tony. Because you don't talk about Reverend Kevin. See, Deacon Asir is about to jump up now. That's what I'm talking about. God don't want no coward soldiers. She about to jump up now and lay hands on somebody. So when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Yeah, he said he going to church all and just... And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Listen at them. Just mouth raking the people. You understand what I'm saying? Folks just got all kind of bad things to say because you doing what they want to do, but they can't do it because they just ain't got the heart to do it. Lord have mercy, Jesus. I like folk like that because, see, I like to show them up. Not because of any kind of
mess that I got me, but I just want to show them how God works. See, because if you do this thing right, folks will look at you, they'll be mad. You know what? I don't think I really have a friend in the world, because I'm trying my best. And let me stress this to you. I can't stress it enough. I'm trying my best to live holy. It don't always happen. See, another kind of Christian I can't stand that they always Christian. They're always doing things right. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't look at that. I don't say that. I don't do those kinds of things. I don't drink that. You understand what I'm saying? Nowhere in the Bible does it say, if thou drinketh a bud, thou will not getteth into heaven. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that. What it does say now is that when you start to do those kinds of things, that it will lead to other things. So that's why I stay away from it. I don't stay away from it because I can't drink a shot of Grand Marnier. I would love to. I just don't want to anymore. Y'all got to understand what I'm saying. Verse 3 says, now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build if a fox go up on it, he shall even break down their stone wall. Folks don't like to see nothing happen for the good. They just don't like to see it happen. Hear, O God, for we are despised, verse 4, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Nehemiah then said, so built we the wall. We went on and did what we were supposed to do. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for a people had a mind to work. That, when I read that, I said, my God, my God. For the people had a mind to work. Church folk oftentimes want the title, but they don't want to do nothing the title entails. Yeah, I went there. Because sometimes I don't do what my title entails. And I'll be the first to admit that I make mistakes and that I don't do things the way I ought to do things. I don't study the way I ought to study sometimes. I don't do a lot of things but I still love the Lord. And if you come and ask me to do anything, I'll be glad. But you got folks who don't want to say nothing. Don't want to do nothing but want all the glory. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the wall of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. And they conspired, all of them together, to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. One thing about folks, they can't do it by themselves. They need to get other folks to gang you, to jump on you. See, them flash mobs downtown, you don't see a flash person. One flash person just flashing. Now just gone. Nah. You see a whole flash mob because they're cowards. See, when folks gang up against you, trust me, they're cowards. Oh, Lord. That they conspired to all of them together and come against them and fight unto Jerusalem and to hinder them. See, the scripture doesn't say that they would come together and get all everybody together and stop them. Because you can't stop God's work. God's work is going to go on no matter what the opposition does, no matter what your enemy does, God's work is going to go on. What God has for you,
is for you.
And ain't no demon in hell that's going to stop God's work from coming to fruition. You understand what I'm saying? Nothing is going to stop God's work. They said that they just wanted to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. See, that's where prayer comes in. And Brother Dennis told me something a long time ago. People tell me stuff and it just sticks with me. Just certain things just stick with me. He said prayer in and of itself does not. What prayer does is give you the ability to effectuate change in your life. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch. They prayed. God told them, set a watch.
It's getting to the good part now.
Set a watch against them day and night. See, you're always supposed to be on your guard. You ain't supposed to let, Lord have mercy, Jesus. When the family is asleep, you need to walk through your house and anoint your house and pray against the enemy. Oh, Lord have mercy, Jesus. Day and night because of them. And Judah said,
y'all didn't even get that.
And Judah said, praise. Go ahead, somebody. Praise said, Lord. Praise said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come into the midst among them, and slay them, cause, and cause the work to cease. Verse 12 says, this is where they start to watch. Verse 12 says, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places which ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Now, these were Jews who lived near where Nehemiah and his people were building the wall. These people were not with Nehemiah building the wall, but they had the wherewithal to come and warn him about somebody coming up against him. God will set somebody in your midst that will come and warn you something's about to happen. And you need to get your stuff together. You need to get your little self together and prepare yourself. Stay ready to keep from getting ready. Let's get ready.
Lord have mercy.
Now, the motto for our Sunday school when I was teaching adult Sunday school was stay ready to keep from getting ready. You understand what I'm saying? Stay ready to keep from getting ready. If you're already ready, you don't have to get ready. So when stuff break out, you're ready. Some Christians, they just lay their stuff down and lay their... they shield down and they helmet down and they breastplate of righteousness. You're supposed to stay dressed all day, every day. Because the enemy never takes a vacation day. He never takes an AL day. He never takes a sick day. He never calls out. He don't even get E days. He's always on the job. Verse 13 says, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families.
This is what I like. With their swords
and spears and bows. Now, this is where, when I was a kid, my grandmother used to tell me to watch, fight, and pray. I understand it now. Nehemiah, my homie. Because I when I was out there, I kept, like, a knife in my pocket, a sword in my car, well, machete in the car, and all guns and stuff. Sorry, Lord. I was ready just in case something broke out. You understand what I'm saying? But that was my BC. There are no guns in my cars, no knives in my pockets, no more, no more, no more. Amen, somebody. Verse 14 says, and I looked up and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be ye not afraid of them. See, we as Christians don't have to be afraid of the enemy. We need to be cautious of the enemy. We need to be ready for the enemy, but we don't need to be afraid of the enemy, because the enemy can't hurt us if we don't let him hurt us. Plead the shed blood of Jesus Christ against the enemy and all of his imps, all of his pimps, all of his dimps, all of those people. You plead the shed blood of Jesus against everything that Satan has to offer, and watch him get out of your way, because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. In heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Bible says at the name of Jesus, demons tremble. So when you start to throw Jesus, I'd like to throw his name around everyone. Jesus. Lord have mercy. There's something about that name. Jesus. Just start practicing it. Just Jesus. Just say Jesus, and watch stuff happen. Watch stuff move out of your way. Watch the enemy start to back up off you. Watch the folks just started listening to you. Watch your problems go away. Watch your finances heighten. Watch your Jesus. It came to pass when our enemies heard it was known unto us, and God brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one of us unto his work. See, when folks, when the people have a mind to work, and folks start to do what they got have to do in the Lord without fear of the enemy, God will allow that thing to just roll on like nothing ever happened. Because folks will start to just fall off every time you profess Jesus Christ. Every time you say Jesus' name. He said, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one of us his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both spears, the shield, and the bows, and the habergeons. There were like vests, like breastplates, coats of mail. That's what they were. They held on to them, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which build on the wall, and that they bear burdens with those who laid it, everyone with one hand, one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other one held a weapon. There is nothing wrong with protecting yourself and what God. You know what? I'm going to protect my home. I'm going to protect my wife, and I'm going to protect my children. I'm going to protect what's mine, and ain't nothing wrong with it. Folks think that, Christian folks think that you're not supposed to do any of those kinds of things. Where they get it from? Why has Christians, some Christians, why have we gotten so passive? Why have we gotten so punkish? Why have we gotten so cowardly? I'm not the one. Jesus Christ. Let's take him for instance. He went into the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers. He wasn't scared of those people who were in there doing all kind of pimp. They were pimping. They were pimping the people. Let's keep it real. That's what they was doing. They were selling stuff. 1-800 get a loan. Now, what is it? Get the cash you need at the cash at cash point. Right? Yeah. He said he wasn't scared of those folks. Jesus Christ was the perfect example. He didn't take no tea for the fever. Jesus Christ had compassion. Jesus Christ was love. Jesus Christ did miracles. He touched people. He prayed for people. But Jesus Christ did not take no mess from the door. After he was baptized, the Spirit led him into the wilderness. The Spirit led him into the wilderness. And here comes Satan. And I heard the Spirit say, let's get ready to rumble. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. This stuff ain't your stuff to give me. This stuff belongs to my Father. How are you going to give me something that ain't my, that ain't even yours? That stuff is my Father's, and it's going to belong to me because I am my Father. Get thee. Jesus Christ was not a coward person. He let them beat him. He, see, you don't believe me? Turn to the book of John, chapter 10. He said, I lay down my life for me. You don't take nothing from me. I'm giving you this thing. You ain't big enough. You ain't bad enough to take nothing from me. I'm just going to give it to you. They beat him. And he never said a word. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Christian, and he never said a word. Why did he do that? Because we couldn't. We wouldn't. We are not strong enough to take what he took. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. They laid him down on a tree. And they nailed one of his hands into the side of the tree. And the hole that was on the other side was too long. So they popped his shoulder out of joint just to get it over there so they can nail that hand into the cross. And then they nailed his feet together on this same cross. And the thing about it, Satan was winning at that point. Satan had the battle won. And Jesus, he said, you know what? You're doing a good job, Satan. You got it going on, homie. But if you raise me up off this ground, I promise you, you will not do it again. Because I got everything nailed to this cross. He said in his word, if I be lifted up from the earth, all my people, I'm going to draw all my people unto me. You don't have to do a thing. I don't have to do anything to you, Satan. All you got to do is lift me up. That's all you got to do. And they made the mistake. They went on. They should have left Jesus right there. But they made the fatal mistake of lifting him up. And the battle was won right there. So now I don't have to be a coward soldier. I don't have to be a punk. I can still be a Christian. I can still have a relationship with Jesus. Thank God I'm not religious. Thank God I am not a religious person. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, which tells me you don't have to be scared. You don't have to be. Come boldly. Ain't that what the Bible say? I know I ain't speaking good English, but I don't care. The Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace. That's how I come. I come with a sword in one hand and a Bible in the other. You know what I'm saying? Let's get it on. You know what I'm saying? I ain't no chump for nobody. I wasn't a chump when I was out there in the street. And when God saved my life, he didn't take all of my personality away from me. He left some there for the purpose of ministry. Because folks don't want to hear nothing from me.
Praise the Lord. The Lord is so good.
You understand what I'm saying, Mother? He wants to hear from somebody who's going to stand up and proclaim the word of God with boldness and strength. And then Jesus, when they picked him up off the ground, they left him there. And as the story goes, he stayed all day Friday, all Friday night. They left him hanging there all day Saturday and all Saturday night. But then just before the break of dawn, Mary, they went running to see about Jesus, and he wasn't there. He had got up, y'all, with all power in his hands. And the amazing thing about what he did at Calvary's cross, I don't know about you, but he did it just for me. And I thank God that he did it just for me, a sinner from 21st and Westmoreland. He did it just for a cocaine-snorting, cocaine-smoking, weed smoking, pill taking, heroin snorting, liquor drinking, cigarette having. Y'all don't want to be real today. But that's who he did it for. He did it for me. He did it for a junkie named Oh Lord have mercy. He did it for a junkie named Kevin Padgett. That's who he did it for. You see, I wasn't saved all of my life. I got some stuff in my past. And I'm trying to tell you that's why Jesus came. Because he saw this nut down at Westmoreland Street going to hell in a handbasket. And he said, that's my child. And I need to come and get him. And I... went from breakdancing in the hallway of a hotel because I was so high I didn't know what I was doing to dancing for Jesus. I went from rolling a joint while I'm riding down the street driving my car. I understand that everybody was saved all their life and that nobody wants to tell the truth today, but I was toe up from the floor up. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, and sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry, and Cindy, from the waters he lifted me. And it wasn't until now, safe am I. Stand to your feet.